All right. Well, just as a little review, kind of what we talked about in our last class. We were looking at the idea of growing. So we understand that we have to grow and continue to grow in order to be helpful and helping others and helping others to grow. Now, whether this is being equipped to teach or to teach someone the truth or growing to a capacity, I'll get my speech here in a minute, to help in God's plan to help brethren grow, because well, we'll get to in a minute what we kind of glanced at in Ephesians 4. And just a reminder, kind of what we looked at, the idea of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, that example was, he was looking in Isaiah, and this was where he was learning or trying to understand about Christ. But we see, by using that example also, we see this idea that how he was led, you know, to that understanding. Or he was, how we can be guided by other people. Because remember, the idea we looked at was how being helpful to others as far as helping others to grow. We looked at the idea of the local church. In Ephesians 4, we saw that, let's turn over there, because we're going to probably start about in Ephesians, I believe. In Ephesians 4, we see this idea, it's something that God put in place to help us grow. And what was that? I kind of just gave it away, but... Okay. Okay, the local church.
He gave apostles and he gave prophets. He gave evangelists and pastors and teachers.
Okay. So do we trust in God's knowledge? Do we try to assemble with the saints, or do we think that maybe we don't need to? It's just, I put some of that in there to help us to think about things, to consider ourselves and our growth, because we can look at some of the things that God's put in place. So assembling together in a Bible class and being here to hear lessons preached is a benefit to us. This can help us grow in our understanding. Now, this is just that's just a part of what we're doing and why we're together, but we can see an importance in doing that, and that we can grow from this. So in this section here, like Linda was pointing out, it says in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave. Talking about Jesus here, he gives five things according to verse 12. And it says that these five things were for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. So, what does he give to accomplish this? It says, I think it's 11, verse 11. It says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers, and teachers. And these five that he gave was to for the equipping of the saints. And what these have in common is teaching. Now, like we mentioned in our last class, the first two, the apostles and the prophets, we don't have them in the sense of you know, actual apostles and prophets, but we have them in the writings. So we can use the writings to equip ourselves. And we also looked at some of that as well in Timothy.
I found it quite interesting, you know, there in Ephesians, and you've mentioned it in passing. It's not so that we no longer be tossed about. Mm-hmm. There are two themes that God wanted and had in view when he gave those five things. And it was so that they would put the saints in service, so that they wouldn't be talked about with every doctrine, so that we can know the truth, and then later on, it's so that we can grow up to be like Christ. So the more we study the Word, the more like Christ we become, and the more that we can stand firm in faith and not be tossed about, you know, and confused and not know
right
what God would have us to be.
Right. Yeah, so it's important, isn't it? Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16, I can't remember if we looked at that in our last class or not, since we've skipped a class. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And but you might say, you know, but read verse 17. It says, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's true. I would agree that this was written to a man of God for his work as a man of God, but, you know, a preacher. But it's not limited to that. It's not limited to him, and it's not limited to his work. We have work to do also. The scripture is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And also, when I think about this, when I look at this section, can I suggest that it's not just what Timothy, it's not just referring to what Timothy should use. That was what he was to use. And it's not just what we can use, because it is what we're to use as well when we're doing these things, teaching and such. But is it possible, could you say, that if we're looking to the Scripture and we're reading it, as we said we should be doing, like in one of our past classes, Have You Not Read? Then couldn't we read, and when we do this, couldn't it reprove and correct and train in righteousness? The Word of God can, you know, allow us to do these things as we read. So trying to grow and understand is important. As we read and understand more, we might still have some changes to make. So do we listen to, back to Ephesians 4, these evangelists and pastors and teachers, what they have to say? When these pastors or elders, they try to set up special efforts, do we try to be a part of it? Do we support gospel meetings? These are all things that can be beneficial to our growing, because remember, that's what we're looking at here in this section, is just this idea of us growing, because that's what's going to prepare us to be able to talk to other people and be helpful to them. You know, we should realize that these are things that can help us to mature and grow. And us men, I think we kind of pointed this out in the last class, but when the elders ask us to do a Wednesday close or anything like that, do we do it? Number one, this encourages our brethren, but it's very helpful to us. Because, you know, we're going to be the ones that are going to benefit the most when we put the right effort into doing these things. And these men are using their knowledge to try to equip us and try to equip the future of the Christians, if you will. But what's a danger if we're not trying to grow? What's something that we can fall into? Okay.
False teachers.
Okay.
Backsliding.
Okay, back sliding backwards. Okay.
And you don't mature. You don't become teachers. You become as if someone taught you. That's Hebrews 5 that you had on the lesson. Mm-hmm. And so you don't become capable of what the Lord would have you to do is to teach somebody else.
Right. Right. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because then we see that cycle again, don't we?
You'll succumb more to false teaching, false doctrine, or you'll be easily shaken, as some of the brethren were warned against, because they haven't had their faith.
Built. Right.
There are examples in the Old Testament of that very thing happened. When they did, a whole generation failed to follow God.
Yes, sir. So, instead of growing, they would be sliding backwards, and like we said, it's something that can be dangerous for us. So, if we're striving to grow, and again, we all have different abilities, we mature at different levels, where, some might be more capable than others, but the idea is, if you're striving to learn and you continue to read and strive to understand, then you're still going to grow. You might just grow at a different level or pace than someone else. But also, like we talked about in one of the other classes, especially when it comes to evangelizing or speaking to other people, then the act of practicing it or doing it, that's where you're going to learn, because you're going to build your confidence or more anyway. I'm not going to say you're going to be 100% confident, but it's going to help you work on confidence, and it's going to equip you to understand maybe how some people address certain things that you're talking about. It's not always going to be the same, but it kind of gives you some ideas of that. And then it's also, if we have the right attitude about it, when these things are brought up, it's going to challenge us to look deeper, to try to better understand, because then we might learn something as far as, I didn't know someone had a view like that, and, where are they getting that, or whatever. And then that might help equip us for future things as well. So are we growing as we should? Let's turn over to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." It takes practice and work to grow and mature. But think about it. What are we willing to do for our master? We've talked about, it's going to take time. We might have to give up doing other things at times in order to make time to study and grow. But, we need to think about that, what we're willing to do. We should want to mature and continue to grow so that we're living in a manner that is pleasing to God. We also need to grow so that we're able and capable of helping other people. So again, what are we willing to do for our master? Now, when you think about it, some people are willing to invest a lot of time in things that are fleeting. And I'm not saying that that's wrong necessarily in doing other things. Of course, we all have hobbies and different stuff we do and maybe activities with the kids or whatever. But it's interesting how sometimes those kind of things can seem to be more important. So are we willing to invest the time? You know, some of these you might see how they invest quite a bit of time on things that are fleeting like this, and maybe not much on things that are eternal. So the question is that we need to answer to ourselves is, which one of those are we? You know, we need to constantly examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves and just strive to do better.
One of the things I think of great when I read Hebrews 5 is the practical side of the desiring the solid food is in verse 14, where we can train our senses to discern good and evil. So it's the wisdom of having the foresight to see a situation before it develops that, hey, you know what, I probably don't need to go down this road because I don't need to do this.
Yes, sir.
So that's to me, a mark of maturity, if you will, that we develop that wisdom and we practice that and we avoid going down
the wrong path.
And we're able to see the right path go down.
And that's going to be helpful for our example on others as well, too.
One thing that might help us is to remember that it's a life and death situation.
Yes.
The devil's out there, he's waiting, he's watching, he's ready to see if we drop our guard. You know, if he sees that we're getting weak and we're not doing what we should, we don't have a plan set to go, we are not focused, he's going to take advantage of it.
Yes, sir. Well, because we know that he's not scared of anything, really. He's tried to tempt Jesus, so I mean, don't think that we're not, you know, right. We're not immune. Sorry, my brain's not working today.
Not long ago, I heard someone say that if we do not feel like we are tempted, he's got us.
Yeah.
And I had never really thought of that before, but that's really, really true.
Right. If you're so, I don't know if the secure is the right word, but if you just feel so as if there's not any problems or anything that could happen, that's where mm-hmm. we get into a trouble with a bunch of different things, really.
Even though Apostle Paul, even though he realized that he was never right, he still was buffeted by David. Yeah.
I think that one of the measures that I find of Christians doing as they should is in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, Paul even starts out in the first chapter, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work in faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope," and so on. And then down below, of course, they have turned from serving idols, you know, down further in the chapter. "You became an example to all the believers in Macedonia. You became imitators of us, having received the word in much tribulation." And then verse 8 is, "The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." You know, it shows what can be done. You know, and here's an apostle of Christ, mentioning them in his prayers, thanking the God for them because of the work they've done. They have received the gospel. They've obeyed the gospel. But it is sounding forth, and they've got labor of love, and it is just known everywhere. You know, and that's the difference of just hiding your light right there in that little corner.
Right, right. So let's turn over to Mark. So are we capable of sowing the seed? Are we capable of teaching? In Mark 4, well, I've listed, I think I put on, yeah, I listed on y'all. It's Mark 4 and Matthew and Luke. You know, our goal is to make, our hope and goal is to make people understand their need for Christ. And in doing so, we should, you know, want to be able to serve our Master in that way. But all too often, I think we overthink things, or we overanalyze the situations and talk ourselves out of the simple thing that we need to do. You know, because we've talked about it before, this idea how we can see a situation and then we think either we're not equipped to address that or whatever it might be, and we allow ourselves not to even go forward and do anything. We basically talk ourselves out of doing it. But it's really simple what we need to do, and that is to share what we know. Now, in where did I turn this to? Mark 4? Mm-hmm. We'll stay there at 4, but just because y'all are very familiar with Mark 16:16, I think on y'all's, I left just part of the thought there. So we know that in Mark 16:16, it tells us that he who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So people need to know and understand this. They need to know the good news of Christ. But in order for them to do that, you know, that's going to take us or someone teaching them. And again, this doesn't mean that they're always going to obey. We don't have control over that part. We hope for that outcome. But we won't. That won't be the case all the time, and maybe even most of the time it might not be, but that doesn't change what we're supposed to be doing. So does that mean that there's not a need, or that we shouldn't be doing this in the first place? Of course not. You know, just because we might think we know what the outcome is going to be. Remember, we talked about some of the people, and probably people we know. You know, some of them, if we were prejudging them, or if you want to use that term, then they wouldn't have been someone that we would have thought that would obey Christ, you know. When we think about talking to others, maybe sometimes, I think sometimes we think, well, these people already believe in God, and so that's going to be a good person for me to talk with. And they might actually be harder to talk with. Because at least when you're speaking to someone that doesn't know anything about God, you don't necessarily have to get some stuff out of their head that's been drilled into them. Because even though you could point and point and point, they might not, you know, look to what you're pointing to in Scripture. So, let's just keep that in mind. And just because of the appearance of someone, that's not necessarily, that doesn't show their heart. And we looked at that as far as when we were looking at the Good Samaritan. You know, there's things that, you know, we should be looking past. We don't need to have anything playing a part in keeping us from helping somebody, especially when it comes to helping them in this way, with trying to teach them the truth. So just things for us to think about. And, you know, when we think about, well, yeah, we're going to try to teach somebody and they might not obey or whatever. The master teacher, again, think about Christ. And, you know, he's the master teacher. He knows exactly what to say. And he didn't convince everybody. So we need to keep that in mind. Don't let things stop us from trying to share the good news with other people. So again, this doesn't change the need for what needs to be taught. It just shows that mankind are free moral agents, and people have a choice. But we need to try to guide them and try to educate them in a way that they might be able to make a wise choice. Because remember, again, a lot of this is just ignorance, just lack of knowledge. So being able to show them is going to be helpful. So we are to plant or even water, but God gives the increase. So, but with that being said, we also need to keep in mind there's nothing to increase if we're not planting or watering. So it's we need to try to do our part.
A lot of these people we talk to, the people who have been told lies and they believe these lies, they've been told the lies so many times it becomes truth to them. You know, it's like the sinner's prayer. It's not in the Bible. Sinner's prayer. You know, the concept's not there to say a prayer and be saved. It's out there. But people believe it. How many times do people believe it? Because why? Because they've been told a lie.
Well, think about that with our good example is our kids. Because I know, at least when our son was growing up, unfortunately, they just think that titles or whatever, because that's what a lot of maybe might be happening with some people. Well, my preacher said or whatever. So they take it at that. What's going to matter is where did he get it? You know, where is it? It needs to be based from the Bible. But when you think about your kids, because I know we had this discussion when Dylan was younger, just something at school, a school subject, but it's just right because the teacher said it's so. So you've got to get that out of their mind, and that's some of the same things that we're going to run into as we're trying to teach people, because they might not even be much of a student of their own. They just know what they've heard and what they've grown up hearing, what mom and daddy did or grandma, and so it doesn't necessarily make it an easy challenge either, because you know sometimes then you're questioning grandma's faith or whatever. But that's why we got to just take them to the Word. That's all we can do. Okay, yes, sir.
I know in your lesson you're commenting about trying to guide others so they might make a wise choice. Now, when we talk about evangelism, we mentioned about how important it is for us to work with one another.
Yes.
The parable of the sower is not just about people that we go out to teach. Obviously, there's a seed and there is a sower. There's a teacher and there's a word. But it's ourselves, too, because as we're listening to each other amongst ourselves, and as we're listening to God's word, that seed is affecting our hearts, too. And one of the things, I wrote down 1 Timothy 1:5, when Paul was instructing Timothy that And, you know, he said that the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And there may be other people around us that are trying to teach with bad motives, or maybe there might be some carrying a different doctrine of Jesus, you know, like the gospel of riches or whatever.
Health and wealth or
whatever.
Yeah.
Or it may just be people, sometimes Christians can get caught up in knowledge and just spout what they know all the time to try to somehow, you know, show off or whatever. But that's not what our attitude should be. It should always be one of love.
Right, yes.
And we should have a good conscience of the things that we've studied and learned, so that we're not just saying things that we don't have any knowledge about, but we're actually interested in the truth. And so, you know, when you read something about sowing the seed, the example that the work that we're doing for others ought to be what we've received in our heart. It should be a demonstration of what we've received in our heart ourselves. Be somebody that teaches without understanding, or teaches and false pretenses, or
right. So
practice what you preach, if you will.
Yeah. And it's a good point when you talk about the attitude, because our attitude has to be we have to have the right attitude in many aspects, but especially in the way that we're talking to others. Like you said, we don't want to do it just to say, "Oh, I beat them." I mean, because that's not what we're trying to do. You know, we need to, the end goal. I mean, we need to think of what we're trying to do is convince them of or help them to see the truth, you know, and to see what is right, so they can trust in it on their own and then obey it.
And pray about for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, prayer is always you know, because and I hear us pray that way at times, that a door might open, but, and that's one way we can pray about it. The only thing is, we need to make sure we have our eyes open, because I think sometimes doors are open and we don't see them, or we don't walk through them. But definitely, as we're speaking to somebody, you know, if there's somebody we've already been trying to have interaction with, then definitely pray for them on that too, you know, that their eyes might be open, that they might be receptive to what you're trying to teach them. Do you have a hand up, Craig, or did?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Was there any other comments or thoughts, or okay? So, Mark 4. Okay, Mark 4, 1 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 20. And I don't know that we'll have time to do much commenting on it, but we can start there in our next class.
Do you want help?
Oh, no, I'm good. I mean, unless you don't like listening to my reading, you're welcome to read. Just because I don't have any glasses on, I am having trouble. But now, if you'd like to, that's fine.
I'm just asking if you need help. Go ahead.
You sure? I'm always open to volunteers. No? Okay. Mark 4, 1 through 20. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea and on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came up and ate it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the soil, or of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because of it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." Jesus explains the parable in verse 13. It says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?' The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." And also in Matthew 13:9, it says, they worded a little different. And also Luke 8, it says that, "So that they will not believe and be saved." In a similar way, these are the ones, verse 16, sorry. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And we only got about a minute, so I'm going to stop there so we can pick up in our next class.